My name's Matt Mullen. Been coming to Grace for like 10 years, I think, at this point. We run a small group in our house. I work with the teenagers in youth group. I also was teaching 5th and 6th grade boys. Today's the last day of that class. So Corey Winship got to take that class. But looking forward to talking with you today about how to be a TechWise parent, kind of how to better understand the technology that's in our house and what to do about it. Really, the goal here is to try to help filter technology in our homes to protect our children and ourselves. So there's going to be some resources in that slide deck. It's really going to be challenging to know every technology that you have in your house, but there's general concepts and there's links that you're going to be able to access to be able to figure out some of the things that I talk about today. So imagine your 10-year-old comes and asks you to borrow the car. They want to go to the mall with their friends, and you throw them the keys and you say, have fun, you know, make sure you lock the door when you come home. That would be pretty foolish of any parent here. At a certain age, when you have responsibility, you have to be trained in that responsibility. You have to take classes to be able to drive. You're going through lessons. You have to be at a certain mature age. This is the same concept that we have to take when we give our kids technology, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a computer in the home, and specifically whether it's a phone that gives us full unadulterated access to pretty much anything on the internet. We can't just give these things without any training or any understanding to our kids. So the first thing we kind of want to focus on here, and I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail here, is there's some major risks with technology in our homes. One of the biggest risks right now is excessive screen time, right? So kids have a lot of time in front of screens, and we use it sometimes to get peace and quiet. We'll give kids tablet time, or we'll give them phone time, or we don't even really understand how to block phone time. Kids then have an inability to endure quiet. They're not able to sit with their thoughts. They're not able to have any sort of time of reflection on the Word of God. The second things get quiet, they get on their phone or they get on their tablet, and they get a lot of information fed into their brains to keep them from thinking, right? This excessive screen time can also disrupt sleep. If your kid's having a hard time sleeping, it could be that they're watching TV, or maybe even have TVs in their room, or they're on their phone or on their tablet. Again, any sort of technology right before bedtime can disrupt their sleep. This can lead to addiction. Kids and adults probably in this room have a hard time not looking at their phone every 10 minutes. They have alerts on and their phone's constantly pinging and beeping and drawing them back to looking at their phone, right? This is a major challenge, and we need to recognize that challenge and think about some ways that we can put controls around screen time. So this also can increase anxiety. As the more you're on your phone, the more you're prone to being anxious, right? So there's screen time limits we're going to talk about. There's app controls we're going to talk about. One that I just started using recently is turning my phone into grayscale, so it makes your phone basically black and white, so it's a little bit less attractive to look at. We need to teach our kids self-control and stewardship. We'll talk a little bit about that. Again, another, and there are a lot of risks. I just kind of picked, I think, what are the three most important ones to focus on today is exposure to inappropriate content, right? So porn or anything inappropriate that we're looking at is easy to access. There's inappropriate content just in simple Google searches, right? If you don't have safe search locked down on your computers or on your phones or on your home internet. If you can't force safe search, kids can get access to pretty much anything. Again, if you're not aware, Google searches are encrypted. So the encryption causes you to not be able to really see what's happening. So because of that, you have to have safe search as one of the features, and it can't be something that the kids can turn on and off. It has to be something that's locked. And I mean, I think that this is important for adults also. It's a key area for adults to be able to have this something that they just can't turn off when they think no one's looking. Chat features in apps, games. Again, I think one of the things we don't realize is a major issue is the ability to get into a chat conversation with a complete stranger in a game you're playing, whether they're on the computer, whether they're on the phone, whether they're in some sort of an app that has a chat feature related to it, right? YouTube, comments is like a cesspool. So all of those areas are areas you may not be aware your kid's not doing anything that he's not supposed to, but he was in a chat or in a comment section of something you've allowed. And now all of a sudden there's a link in there to something that takes them someplace that you don't want them going. So you need to be aware that you're possibly one quick click away from bad content when you're in these chats or in these comment sections of apps. And then there's misinformation, right? We have tons of misinformation. There's radicalization and false teaching. There's the ability to get access to pretty much anything. The challenge is even more because we have so much AI content available. We don't want to get our news or our information from random sources on the internet, right? We have to teach our kids to guard their eyes and hearts. We have to put up guardrails. We have to teach wisdom and discernment. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then the other major risk is social media itself, right? So there's curated fake images that give a distorted view of what reality is. This might not be that big. You, as an adult, you might have discernment and not think it's that big a deal, but when you're young, the kids getting access to this have no idea that that's not real life, that that's not the expectation that they're supposed to live up to, and it can be very difficult for them. There's bullying within social media. And then obviously depression is another thing that can be a result of excessive social media because you're just not able to measure up to what you see everybody else doing. And it's important that we keep open communication with our kids here. We definitely have to make sure we're able to build up positive, loving support. We have to teach contentment for what we have. We have to be thankful for what has been given to us. All right, so we're going to jump into the next slide. If you see it, it has a little filter on it. It says filtering tech, right? The idea here is, you know, kids do a science project and they have to make a water filter and it has lots of different layers and all those different layers kind of filter out the bad content so you can get clean water and you don't get sick. When we're thinking about technology, we're not thinking about like parent controls and stopping people from doing things and making life miserable for our children. What we're trying to do, this is for ourselves also, is we're just filtering out all the bad stuff, as much of the bad stuff as we possibly can that's coming into our home. Again, you're not going to be able to stop everything, but what you can do is stop a majority of the easy to access stuff, right? So there's different layers in these filters. And so we're going to talk through it, right? We're going to talk about modeling the right behavior, having active engagement with our kids. We'll talk about the home network. We'll talk about devices. And then there's a list of resources and links in the slide deck. So if you go to the next slide, it says modeling behavior. And really, our job as parents, and again, this is the first filter, and it's focused on us as parents. So we are the most important filter of what comes into our home. And we need to model what good looks like. We need to show our kids what not being on your phone looks like, what not being consumed by social media looks like, with not wasting excessive amounts of time on our phones looks like, right? Children, they're given to us by by God. They're not ours. Our job is to raise them up in the fear, the nurture of the Lord, so that they can see faith in action and learn to love our Savior. Like, that's our responsibility, and we have to model what that looks like. All right, so with that, we have, again, the first verse there, 1 Corinthians 11:1, is be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ. This should be something that we think about as parents. Are we able to say that if our kids modeled our behavior and our use of technology, that would be the right example that we would want them to set, right? It's easy for parents to say one thing and do something completely different, but that's, you know, we'll talk about that in a second. But the most important thing is that we are presenting to our families what it looks like to use technology in a safe and Christ-honoring way, right? Parents are setting this example. Dads, right? Are you looking at things you're not supposed to? Are you trying to receive sexual gratification from your phone? This is a big challenge for men. Again, there's an excessive amount of content that's available on the internet. Do you have any sort of accountability with your phone? Does your wife know your PIN? Does your wife have access to what you're looking at? Is there any way for anybody to know what you're doing on your phone? If not, you have no accountability. And so the temptation is there that, oh, no one's going to know what I'm doing, right? So are you wasting a ton of time? Do you play games? Are you on your phone constantly? Are you, you know, one of those zombies that just walk around with their head down, staring at their screen all the time, every time there's a free 5 minutes? Or are you showing your kids that you can sit in quiet, or that you can have a conversation, or that you can look up and look at someone in their eyes? So we need to make sure that we're modeling what that looks like. Moms, same thing. How much time are you spending? Again, this isn't always the problem. The problem isn't always porn and games with guys, and the problem isn't always social media with moms, but that's like a big aspect that is easy to touch on. There's other areas that probably you might be dealing with, but moms, are you focused on social media? Do you spend a ton of time on, I don't know, Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media is important today in order to find out what other people are doing and, you know, kind of be nosy and gossipy with all the information that flies around there? Are you then obsessing over people's lives and being discontent with your own life, your own marriage, your own kids, your own home, the way your kitchen looks, right? So that's something your kids see, and they see you not utilizing technology properly, and you're going to present that to your children, and that's what they're going to pick up. Romans 2 speaks... So Romans 2 speaks about kind of the idea that sometimes we say one thing and then do another, and the fact of this hypocrisy, right? This idea that when we judge or condemn someone else for something that they do, right? You tell the kid, you know, clean your room, but your room is a complete mess, right? You are a judge who is judging someone, and yet you're doing the exact thing that you're telling them not to do. Hey, don't watch that thing, and then they go to bed and you watch that thing. Hey, don't play those games, and then the second you have some free time, you're playing those games. Hey, don't look on, you know, don't spend so much time on Instagram, and you're spending a ton of time on Instagram. That's exactly what Romans chapter 2 verses 1 talks about, right? This idea that we can condemn others, and yet we do that exact thing. And really the worst thing a Christian parent can do is be a hypocrite, right? Presenting a false relationship with what you say and what you do is very difficult for kids to overcome. And we need to be aware that we're going to have to live out exactly what we are teaching them. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So, you know, like a like a mother bird who eats a worm, partially digests it, and then brings it back up to their chicks, right? That's what we should be doing with this. Like the truth of what we believe needs to be in our heart so that we can teach it to our children. And then the second filter to move on, I didn't do a dry run, so we might go a little over here. So the second filter is active engagement, really, and this is making sure that we're having conversations with our kids, right? Open communication is a two-way street, but the reason I say active engagement is it's important to have that open communication, but sometimes you just rely on your kid bringing something to you. Active engagement is you pursuing your child. You're pursuing them. You're asking them questions. You're looking for moments and opportunities to coach them. You're trying to identify and reveal blind spots and building a relationship to where they want to hear those blind spots, right? So there is a link in here to the Pew Research on teens and social media from 2025. You can look through that. There's a bunch of stats in there about the challenges of social media and teenagers. One of them that I pulled out is that 48% of teenagers see a negative impact of social media on their peers, but only 14% see a negative impact of social media on themselves. So what that reveals, right, is this idea that sin blinds. We're blind to sin. We're blind to our own blind spots. So those kids that can see social media is having a poor impact of 50% almost of their peers do not think that social media is impacting them negatively. They don't see it. Again, sin blinds, and it's our responsibility as parents to recognize and reveal those blind spots to our kids. So 1 Samuel 15, right? There's a story of Saul having to destroy the Amaleks and Amalekites. Anyway, so he's told to destroy them completely, and yet he keeps Agag the king, and he keeps the best of the sheep and the cattle. And Samuel comes by, and Samuel says to him, "Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" And Saul says, "I did obey the voice of the Lord." Right? He was blind to his own sin. He did not see that he wasn't doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He thought he was completely right. He said, like, this is not fair. I did exactly what I was told to do by God. I'm following him completely. But that lack of complete obedience caused Saul to lose the kingdom. Like, that was the event that God's like, I'm done with this guy. He lacked complete obedience. And yet that's the type of thing that we need to be able to see and reveal to our children. This quote from Paul Tripp says, "Sin causes us to see ourselves as okay when we're not okay. Sin causes us to resist correction and to be offended and defensive. When we are confronted, sin makes us activate our inner lawyers and rush to our defense when it would be better for us to listen, consider, and be willing to confess," right? So we have to build that relationship with our children where we can bring and help them identify blind spots. A couple other things that we need to do is we need to look for opportunities to train. Bible verse I have here is Numbers 32:23. Again, be sure your sin will find you out. This is one me and my wife talk about quite a bit. Like, we pray that God will reveal our children's sin to us so that we have an opportunity while they're in our home in order to coach them and train them and teach them, right? So you don't want them to not ever find out. Like, you want it to be a positive thing that you found out your kid did sin, right? See, he fell into sin, she fell into sin, they're in your home. Praise the Lord, it was revealed to you so that you can work with them and deal with it. Like, that's a huge blessing. So we pray that, like, we think, you know, give the kid a little bit of rope so ultimately they can hang themselves. That's positive when they're in your home because you can teach and coach and train. Like, what does it look like to live for God when we're in sin? All of us are sinners. So that's something that they're going to have to be able to deal with. If it's always hidden, you've never dealt with it. You've never never coach them on it. That is not a positive place to be. So be innocent to wickedness. Psalm 101:2 and Proverbs 4:23, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Right? So being innocent to wickedness, the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. We need to be guarding our heart, guarding our eyes. This should be something that we're teaching our kids is a positive thing that all Christians should be doing, adults and kids alike. We should be guarding our eyes, not setting wicked things before our eyes. This will help us whenever we're on the internet. Godliness, not liberty, right? So this is another one. Kids think, you know, if the Bible does, and I probably not just kids, if the Bible doesn't explicitly forbid it, then I have liberty. Well, it's not how it works as a Christian. Our responsibility is holiness. Our responsibility is to be godly in the eyes of God. We take all of our liberty, we bring it to the cross, and we give it back to God. And we say, God, what is it allowed for me? Like all things are allowed, but what is it? What is good and right in my life? What do you want me to be doing? This is how we should be coaching our kids when it comes to the things that are available to us, right? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Again, we have liberty in Christ, but that liberty does not supersede our need for holiness and godliness. And that should be what is our primary focus, specifically when we're using technology, wasting time that we could be using in a more profitable way. And with that, stewardship, right? This is a big one. Matthew 25:23, the Bible says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master, right? We think too much of leisure and too little of obligation, right? So we want leisure. We want to sit around. We want to do nothing. We want that time to relax. The more you give your kids time to relax, the more they're going to want it and the more bored they're going to be and the more it's not going to satisfy. You need to stop giving them that time and start making them understand that they have an obligation to use their time to the glory of God, right? They're moldable and malleable when they're young. You should be teaching them an instrument, a language, a sport, like other things that are beneficial and profitable for them, and not just letting them waste their time on video games or scrolling through the internet, right? The same people that haven't read their Bible all week have watched 12 hours of YouTube, right? There's definitely time in the day if you would recognize it's not about leisure and it's about obligation when it comes to technology. Okay, so this next part is, and you know, I'm rushing through this, I apologize, but you have the slides, so I'm probably not gonna get to a lot of these different tools. I'm gonna run through it, but this next part we have to recognize, like, the third and fourth filters will be focused on just technology within our homes and within our devices, right? When we look up at the balcony, you know, you see that there's a railing there, and that railing is to keep people from accidentally falling off, right? If someone wanted to, they could jump over that railing. So our thought isn't like, oh no, technology doesn't stop things. Well, technology stops a majority of things and makes it more difficult for someone to accidentally fall into sin, right? So the key when we're thinking about these concepts is that we're protecting from accidental harm and we're putting roadblocks in front of people who intentionally want to sin. We're making it more difficult for them so that they have to go through a process in order to get around some policy or controls you have in your home or on a device. And in that process, hopefully you pray that the Holy Spirit will capture their heart and help them to escape the temptation. If it's really quick, right? The Holy Spirit has no time to do work. Like, you're just flipping through and all of a sudden, man, something you weren't supposed to be looking at's there and now you're tempted. Well, you can stop that sort of thing. And then they have to do some work to get around it. So this idea that walls are for our protection and needs to be presented in a way that kids can see the goodness of God. And then I have Zechariah 2:5. Again, there is an angel who was measuring Jerusalem, and he was talking about that Jerusalem. The walls aren't going to work because it's going to span. There's going to be so many people. And God then says, For I declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire about her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Again, walls are for both adults and children. They're a hedge to protect us. It's not negative. God's here. You know, again, these walls were for defense and for protection from enemies. This idea of having a wall, God is our wall. And we need to think of that as a positive thing when we put kind of these filters or these protections in place. Okay, so then the first part is the home network. So the internet comes into your house through either a modem or a router. In my house, it's a firewall, but whatever you have some sort of device that the internet's coming into. That device has usually, if it's been made within the last 5 years, has some sort of parental controls that you can access and you can block things, right? It's the first layer of technology is the internet's coming into my house. I have a box that can possibly block some things. So you should probably have access to that box and you should block some things. Now, how are you going to get access? You know, as an example, if you have Verizon, there's an app that you can have that connects to your modem or your router where you can go through and you can access it through the app. On the modem or router is the information. Again, I have a link in here, so I'm going to stop talking about it. There's links in here on how to do this if you have different types of technology. So the next layer, again, is your wireless. Your modem or your router, if it has like antennas on it, that's also where your wireless internet is coming from. So it's all in one. But you might have a modem or router somewhere in your garage, and then you have wireless elsewhere in your house. That could be another area where you have visibility into what's going on, right? I can go into my wireless and I can see every device that's connected in my house. Sometimes I get a little crazy and I'm like, what is this IP address? Because I'll name everything so that I know exactly what's connected, and I see something that I've not seen before. I'm like, what is this? Why is this on? Looking all over for it. My wife laughs at me. But then I find out, oh, it's that TV, and then I label it. But anyway, my point being is you can see everything that's on your home network. You can set some controls in that area also. Again, some information in the links on that. And then there's DNS. This is an easier one, a little bit more complicated. DNS is domain name service. So when you're leaving your home, it goes out your router to the internet, and you're trying to get to, like, www.greatcookies.com or whatever, that's an address somewhere. Well, how does the internet know where that address lives? It's in an address book called DNS, and there are DNS services that then can block certain things. These services sometimes are free. I use OpenDNS. I have a link in the resources to OpenDNS as an example. And again, you just point your router or your internet goes. That's the first place all of your traffic hits is this OpenDNS. And in there, it can stop malicious traffic. It can stop inappropriate content. That's another layer. There's a lot of layers, to be honest with you. Technology can be challenging. And so, hopefully the resources I give you are helpful. And this isn't overwhelming, but there's a lot for us to be aware of as we try to protect ourselves and our family. So the home network is important because you should be protecting every device that's in your home, whether it's a Fire Stick or a Google Cast or whatever you're using to stream, right? The Xboxes and all those other devices are on your home network. They're going through your wireless. They're going out to that same DNS, right? That's an area where you can protect all of those devices. A lot of those devices also, well, I'll get to that when I talk about devices. But anyway, so if we look at, so the resources I give there, there's a list of routers, and you can see that there's Netgear is a great router that has a lot of parental controls that make it easy for you to kind of lock down things. Again, you can get that on Amazon. You can get it from Best Buy. It's accessible. I put links in there so that you can kind of see, like, what are some things that you can use. I put a link in there, like I said, to OpenDNS. So let's touch on devices, right? So we have computers, tablets, phones, games, and streaming. All of these are devices. Most of them have to get their internet through your home Wi-Fi. That's why your home network is important. You should have protections around your home network. Computers are a little bit more challenging. The good thing is, most of the time, your computer is gaining access to the internet through your home network, most of the time. If it's a laptop and your kid takes it out, that's fine. I mean, but my point is most of the time that's going through the home network. What you can do, though, is you can put, which you should, everybody should, have some sort of endpoint protection, or what we would call antivirus, on a computer. So you can buy a subscription to something like Norton 360 or Bitdefender. I put links in the resources for those. And that would give you protection against anything malicious, your kid clicking on something because they wanted to get some package for Minecraft that was actually malware, and now your computer's all locked down. It protects against stuff like that, but also it can protect against what we call content filtering. Again, content filtering is I'm blocking specific content that I don't want access to, like porn or adult content or gambling or, you know, drug use, or things that are categorized a certain way. You can block certain categories with these tools. Again, whether that's at the DNS layer, whether that's at the home router layer, whether that's at the layer of an endpoint protection on your computer. Then there's tablets. One thing I'm not going to talk about is, like, when should kids have access to technology. I did put a link to an article in Access that I feel is beneficial. It's more focused on when should kids have phones. But, I mean, personally, like, delay as long as you can when it comes to technology. Give access when you see maturity. And then always monitor and watch the things that are happening so that you can protect them and provide guidance. But tablets... tablets in our house don't have a cellular connection, right? There are tablets that have a cellular connection. That means that they can connect to the internet anywhere they are. I don't think that's a good idea. You can give a kid a tablet, have it locked down. It's in your home network. It's behind your home content controls, right? They can't get access to anything when they leave the house because there's no internet. All of that's done through your home network, but you can also put parental controls on tablets, right? You can lock down times. I'll talk a little bit about parental controls on phones, because tablets and phones, same parental controls apply to both of those. Okay, so phones, again, by default, phones are wide open and will allow anything and everything that they can access on the internet, right? That's not what, you can't just give a 10-year-old keys to the car without any training, without any maturity, without any development, right? You have to understand that when you give a phone, there needs to be controls that you've set and locked down before you give that phone to a kid, right? If you're an Android user, there is a free app called Family Link. Family Link allows you to set, it allows you to see location, I'll jump in that into a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. But so Family Link for Android users, it's not perfect. So I would suggest that you complement it with maybe a paid app, right? So there's a paid app. We utilize Castito in our home, right? That blocks a lot of things. Family Link then allows you to have a little bit more control, right? So if they're able to get around one, they can't get around the other. I know, sounds complicated. One we pay for, though, the other one's free. So that's, you know, that's great. On Apple users, there's Screen Time, right? So the Screen Time feature for Apple users does a lot of the same things that Family Link does. And you just want to make sure that you're locking down the ability for the user of that phone getting access to system settings and just changing all of the settings that you put in there. This is where an app like Bark or Castito comes in handy, because you can lock that stuff down. You want to be able to have visibility into texting and web browsing, right? So as an example, Castito will give us alerts when a kid does a Google search of some word that gets flagged. You know, if they text, oh, you know, I'm so sad today, right? That will flag that they text that to a friend and will say, hey, what's going on? Like, we just see that, you know, it's a funny thing is Aaron's here, and he would put a Google search in and say, Dad, I know you're looking, like in the Google search. So it shows what he looked up, and it says, Dad, I know you're looking. And so it's funny, because the benefit, though, is like your kids have a little bit of concern that you can see what's happening. There's no anonymity. They're not able to be like, you know, oh, I can do this and no one's going to know. Everybody, there's nothing you can do on the internet. I don't care how much you think your Snapchat disappears. There's nothing you can do that cannot be found out by somebody. So you need to be aware of that. Just the concept that someone's looking can help curtail people doing the wrong things, right? You want to block these apps, these parental controls can block web or adult content. I mean, anybody that works at a job, your job has content filtering through the firewall at your business, right? You can't just go to porn when you're at your job, right? There's content filtering everywhere. It's not wise to give access to the internet without some sort of guardrails. It's mandatory for every single one of us, adults and children alike. And if we're not doing that, we're doing a disservice to our families. So block the ability to install apps. I think this one's really important. One, you can see all the apps that your kid has on their phone. You can block apps. You can even say you're not allowed to download an app unless you ask permission. So I want to download an app. Oh, I can't. Let me ask permission. And then you can get an approval from dad or from mom to download that app. I want to download a new game. You're like, well, let me look at it first. Let me check it out. Oh, okay, that seems fine. You can download it. Oh, I want to download Snapchat. No, you can't have Snapchat. I block it. I want to download Instagram. No, you can't have Instagram. I block it. Okay, so you can then also control that so that they can't do it through a web browser. Oh, well, I don't want you going through Instagram on a web browser either, so I'm going to block it there, right? So you're stopping things that you don't want your kid being exposed to. This is beneficial for you also as an adult to be able to, if you're struggling with control on some of these things. Location visibility, I mentioned. Safe search on Google searches needs to be locked on. You can't have someone be able to toggle that off and say, oh, I don't want to do safe search. No, it has to be locked on. YouTube restricted mode. Again, you can force YouTube restricted mode, and that will remove comments. So I think that's hugely beneficial for young people. Screen time and app time. So you can have time controls on specific apps, and you can say, oh, you can, you know, be on WhatsApp for, you know, 1 hour a day or whatever, and you can then put screen time. You can have different sessions. You can say, hey, when you're at school, I want you only to be able to make phone calls, and you can't use anything else on your phone, right? And then your daughter calls you and says, I failed my test because I couldn't take a picture of whatever. So, I mean, and that happened. So, but my point is that you can then set these schedules. You can say, hey, I want you to be in bed at 9 o'clock. All devices shut down at 8:30. Gives you time, right? And they can't get onto anything. You can set schedules, like I mentioned, when the phone locks. You can lock it automatically, right? If you want to, with some of these applications. Again, visibility into what they're texting is a big one. I also included some details about bypass methods. So kids are smarter than you, and they're with this technology all the time, and they can just go on AI and say, how do I get around Castito? How do I get around Family Link? How do I get around Screen Time? How do I change system settings? And they're going to get all those answers, right? You're just making it as difficult as possible. They're going to have to actively pursue that. And like you, there's nothing you can do to stop your kid from sinning. There's nothing you can do to force your kid to love Christ. What you're doing is trying to make it as difficult as possible for it to just be accidental or easy access. And you're putting roadblocks in place. Like I said before, you're trying to make it more challenging for them to get access to things that they shouldn't have access to. So again, gaming systems or streaming devices, all these things are behind your home network, but they also have parental controls, right? If you have a Switch, a Nintendo Switch, there's a Nintendo app that you can go on and you can set up parental controls, right? Xbox, PlayStation, I'm sure they have them too. I haven't really looked at that because all we have is a Switch in our home right now. I think. So with that being said, again, I gave you a link. All I have in here, it's called Parental Control Comparison 2026. If you click that link, it'll take you to a document that has all the parental controls, just a bunch of ones that I could think of. I'm sure there's others out there that might be good, but this gives like a breakdown between those parental controls, like who can do what, which ones are good for Android, which ones are good for iPhone. It gives you pricing. If you look at the bottom of that, there's four tabs. One of those tabs is like how easy is it to bypass, and then what are some things you should be looking out for. VPN is a big one. Just don't allow it. Don't allow VPN devices. Like, you can see the apps. Don't let them download, you know, a VPN app that allows them then to bypass or get around some of the controls that you put in place.
What is a VPN device?
Virtual private network. So it's kind of like, you know, you have a front door and you have a bouncer there, but you dug a tunnel under the wall and you're sneaking out through the tunnel and getting past the guy who's supposed to be keeping track of you, right? So you don't want to allow that like tunnel to be built in order to get around your controls and your policies. You can do that by making sure that they don't have access to specific applications. Again, so another, some more resources. I put in here for iPhone, Android, specific phones that are locked down, like the Gab phone and the Bark phone. You can just get the phone that's already locked down, and that hopefully is helpful. I talked about Grayscale, antivirus for computers. Protect Your Eyes. Protect Young Eyes is a great website. It's a Christian website. Tons and tons of information. Really, like, most of what I talked about is probably on there. There's tons of documentation. I have like four links in here to different things that I thought were useful for you, but just peruse through that. When should I give my kids a phone? And then something called Analog Sunday. So we already do at our house, we have no games on Sunday. And I did that basically because my oldest kid just played games all the time. And I'm like, how do we stop this? So we did no games on Sunday. And I'm like, oh, Analog Sunday is a great idea. Maybe we should just have no technology on Sunday. And it has not been positive, but I've been pushing. I've been talking about it. You know what I mean? I think we're about ready to get there. You know what I mean? I've been talking about it a couple of times. Like, this is a good idea, hon. We should really do this. You know, anytime we do these things, we're really putting pressure on ourselves because it's our responsibility to follow through and to keep on top of it. And sometimes we're just lazy and we just want to give the kids some technology or something so that they'll leave us alone. And we just have to remember, we're the ones doing all of this, and when we give our kid a response, when we give our kid something or we put something in place, we're the ones that have to follow through on it, and so it becomes work for us. So we just have to be willing to do that work. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for salvation, and we just pray you'll bless us, and I pray that this was a blessing to everyone and that you'll help us to honor and glorify you with technology, to use it wisely, and to protect our families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.